This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Matthew 1, verse 21. We celebrate Jesus. Matthew 1:21. It reads, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Again, Matthew 1:21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Our subject on today: born to meet the greatest need. Born to meet the greatest need. As a congregation, we've been talking about individually and collectively calling to meet needs in our community. God has given us a call. God has given us a vision. God has given what we need to meet needs throughout our community. And we're meeting needs through ministries. We have identified our spiritual gifts. We've joined at least two ministries, because as a member of First African, you're already a part of either the men's ministry, the women's ministry, or the youth ministry. You're part of one of those automatically. But aside from those, we ask you to join another ministry where you can more effectively do the work God is calling us to do, working together in a smaller and more effective group to meet needs. Now, the reason we meet needs is so we can become excellent in kingdom building. Excellent in what is really important to God. And what's important to God is found in the Word of God. We are called to meet needs so God's will can be done. It's not God's ultimate will that we be rich, or that we be beautiful, or that we be handsome, or that we be intelligent, or that we're well-organized, or well-dressed, or we're able to act like we have it all together. No, it is God's will that we all should be saved. All right, well, where does that come in the Word of God? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all," somebody say all, "but that all should reach repentance." Amen. Jesus was born to meet the greatest need. Amen. Seeing that we want to do our part in meeting needs in our community, let's look at three things relative to Jesus being born to meet the greatest need. First, his mission should be our mission. Amen. Let me say it again. Jesus' mission, his mission, should be our mission. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Yeah, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. His mission should be our mission. His mission should be your mission. His mission should be my mission. I need you to repeat this after me. Say, his mission should be my mission. Those online, just type that in. His mission should be my mission. Why are you here? Why are we here? Many of us have many followers online. Yeah. How many followers do you have? Yeah. Instagram and Facebook and all that you got. And then on top of that, many people follow us. Many people follow you. You have followers, and then folk follow you as well. Now, I have a Facebook page, and I don't really ever look at it, but I see I got a whole bunch of followers. I don't know what they're seeing, but I got a bunch of followers. And so we ask, how many people are following you? How many people are you following? How many are following you? And then, why are you following them? And why are they following you? Many of these people who we follow are influencers. Great influencers. They influence others. They influence others on what they ought to do. They influence people on what they ought to buy, what they ought to wear. They influence people on what you ought to think. They influence you to act certain ways. It's something about these influences and the following. But what would happen if we all follow Jesus? What would happen if we allow Jesus to be our greatest influencer? Woo. If Jesus could influence us on how we ought to live, he could influence us on how we ought to give, if he could influence us on how we ought to forgive, if he could influence us on how we ought to love, Jesus should be able to influence us to do what he did, and that seek and save the lost. He was born to meet the greatest need. Again, Matthew 1:21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Second point, not only should we make sure that our mission, his mission is our mission, but secondly, we ought to be present. We ought to be present. We need to show up. Be there when needed. If his mission is our mission, then we should not be missing. Let me say it again. If his mission is our mission, then we should not be missing. We all need to be saved. And once we are saved, we have a ministry that will cause us to have others to be saved. Some unsaved people just sometimes mainly need saved people to show up in their lives. Sometimes. The best present is to be present. Yeah. What should I get them? What I don't know. What should I buy? Sometimes the best present is just to be present. It's extremely hard to get people to be saved if you don't engage them, if you don't see them, if you don't speak to them, if you don't share with them, if they don't hear your voice or hear your story. If you don't spend time with them, you have to assist in meeting the needs that they perceive that they have. Sometimes we don't know what we need until we talk it through. We talk through it. We begin to talk. You might think you need one thing, but you really need something else, but you hadn't thought about it. You need someone there to help you so the light can go off. And so the Lord can reveal the greatest need. It always brings me back to a story I tell all the time about a mother who was cutting an apple. And as she was cutting the apple, her child, 2-year-old child, was asking mama for the knife. And as mom cut the apple, the mom gave the child a piece of apple. But the child thought she wanted the knife. But mama knew better than to give the child a knife, but mama also knew that the child really wanted the apple. She wanted the knife so she could cut the apple so she'd have a piece of apple. How many times does God have to intervene in what we think we want and what we think we need? And we find ourselves in a precarious situation when God does not give us what we've been asking for, pleading for, begging for, but he gives us what we actually need. He will use us to do that because God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning of verse 17, says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. I said, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I might become the righteousness of God. See, I know some of us think we can't tell other folk about God. We can't tell other people about Jesus. We can't tell other people how great God is because we ain't all that holy. Yeah, you've sinned, you've messed up, we've done some stuff. So you feel like I'm the last person to tell somebody about Jesus. No, you're the best person to tell somebody about Jesus. What cleanses us is the blood of Jesus. What cleanses us is what God has already done. So because of that, you don't go and high and mighty and telling folks, you know, God loves me and you need to have God because you're going to hell. No. We come allowing them to see our walk, and we come allowing them to hear our talk. We come allowing them to see that where we were and where we're going to because of the grace of God. So he has given us this ministry to others. And listen, do not ever not give to others what God has given you because you believe you're not worthy to give it. That is just a lie. Satan wants you to believe that. And there are so many people that can come to know Christ just because of the message you give them. The message that God loves you so much that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, and he's coming back again. That's a message you can tell. Well, Pastor, how do you know that God wants us to tell that? I just much rather, you know, get all cleaned up and fix everything in my life, and when I'm looking right, when I'm smelling right, when I'm acting right, then I could go out and tell folk about Jesus. You'll never tell them. That's the trick. But if you know that God loves you, and you know that Jesus died for all your mess, all your sins, you could tell somebody God loves you so much. That's the gospel message he's given us. He's cleansed us from our sins so we can influence others to be cleansed from their sins. We have to be present in their lives so they can see Jesus in us. Jesus Christ lives in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Be present in the lives of those who need Jesus. Partner with agencies and other organizations who work with people who have needs. People who have needs will ask somebody, you know, how do I get this? What do we need this? How do I do that? Just like the little child is asking for a knife. They're asking for what they believe they need. But the bottom line is they need something much more than just the material stuff that we have in this world. What would happen if folk would just come to know Jesus, just partner with others? You might say, well, I don't know any unsaved folk. That's why we're partnering with agencies and organizations that are working with folk who may not know Christ. We're going to help them meet their needs. Even though we must be on a mission and be present and engage others with meeting needs. Lastly, use what you have to meet the greatest need. Amen. There are too many people who are not helping other people because we think, I just don't have nothing. I'm broke myself. How am I going to help somebody else? Once we are saved, God wants us to partner with him to save others. So that's why he's given us gifts. And yes, even spiritual gifts. What a great time to talk about spiritual gifts when we're in a period of gift giving and gift receiving. He's already gifted us. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have at least one spiritual gift. Some have more than one. And that gift is not for you to hold it up and say, ooh, look what a great gift I have. I am so gifted. Look at me. I'm gifted. No, it's to be used for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. It's so that those who don't know Christ can come to know Christ. God wants us to partner with him. You have been equipped with everything we need to engage others and cause others to know Christ. We have everything we need. He's given us these gifts, and he's given us these gifts for a purpose. Now, you know the best way to get more gifts is to use the gift you have. Yeah, if you don't appreciate what you have, you might not get anything else. That reminds me of one Christmas when I kept telling my parents, I kept saying, Mom, Dad, I want a red bicycle for Christmas. I even cut one out and put it on the refrigerator just so they didn't get mistaken about what I really wanted. And they kept knowing all I wanted was a bicycle. That's all I wanted was this red bicycle. And I wanted 10-speed. I wanted this bicycle. And so everything went around. Christmas came around. I run, first one up. I go look under the tree. No bicycle. I don't see anything wrapped big enough. But there's a box. So I go and I open that box. It's a pair of skates. I open the box and saw my skates. My daddy looking at me. And I said, ooh, skates. I wanted a bicycle, but I got skates. And one thing I knew about my daddy, if you didn't appreciate what you got, you ain't about to get anything else. Ooh, what a wonderful pair of skates. Let me put my skates on and go skate. Not knowing our family predicament, situation we were in, and then just one day, no special day, I come home in a red bicycle. So what am I saying? Many times we don't have what we really want because we haven't taken time to thank God for what he's already given us. He's already blessed us. He's already kept us. And he's already given us what we need to do what he wants done. We used to give a lot of fruit for Christmas. You know, fruit. You know, all kind of fruit. We used to just give fruit to everybody for Christmas. Well, I want you to know that God has given each one of us fruit. He's given us fruit. He's given us fruit. And if we give the fruit that God has given us, unsaved folk will be saved. Well, Pastor, what fruit did God give me? I don't remember getting into oranges or apples. I don't remember getting from, yes, you did. But Galatians 5, verse 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, yeah, is love, yeah, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, when you've come to know Christ and you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, the fruit of the Spirit is in you also. Amen. You just have to allow the fruit to be manifested in the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you live. You have love. You have joy. You have peace. You have patience. You have kindness. You have goodness. You have faithfulness. You have gentleness. You have self-control. Amen. Jesus came to meet needs. And the greatest need to be met is the need to be saved. Amen. Saved from our sins. We all have sinned. Amen. I say we all have sinned. Amen. I say it. Amen. Y'all too. We all have sinned. Amen. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And that's merely separation from everything that's good. The wages of sin is death, but, I like the way ESV puts this, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says the free gift of God. And you thought you didn't have enough money for a gift. How many can't afford free? Who can't afford free? It says, and the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can afford free. You can pray for free. You can smile for free. You can be saved for free. And even though we can get it for free, salvation was costly. Yeah, we didn't have to pay for it, but it had to be paid for. The gift of God is free to us, but somebody had to pay the price. Matter of fact, John chapter 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, it says in John 1, 29, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wow. the Lamb of God. And those in Jewish culture knew exactly what that meant. Because a lamb, when it was perfect, without blemish, as Jesus' life was, the lamb would be sacrificed on the altar for the sins of all the people. And the lamb, the priest would say just before killing the lamb, he says, my hands are now your hands. My feet are now your feet. My head is now your head. Then he takes the cross of it because he took the sins of the people. Now he says, my sins are now your sins. And then kill the lamb, and the blood would run from the lamb and atone for all the sins of the people. And when John said, behold the Lamb of God, he was saying, behold the one that will come through 40 and two generations. Behold the one that loves us so much. Behold the one that as there was needs, he met their needs. Behold the one who has come to meet the greatest need of us all. Behold the one who knew that we had sinned and had come short. Behold the one who knew what we have done and how we've done it. Who knows what we've already done, what we're doing right now, and what we will do. Behold the one who would allow them to arrest him and take him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Behold the one that would allow them to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head. Oh yes, behold the one that said, not my will, but your will be done. Behold the one that will hang on the cross for all of your sins and all of my sins. Oh, behold the one who the Bible says he died, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday. But early, I said early on that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to empower us to help meet the greatest need this world has. This world needs a Savior. His name is Jesus. This world needs Jesus. So all I can say to you now is, now behold the Lamb. The precious Lamb of God, born into sin, that we may live again. The precious Lamb of God. If you're here today and you recognize, I need the Lord in my life. If you're online and recognize, I need God in my life. I want to be saved. Listen, what better time, what better gift can you give to Jesus on his birthday? Oh, yeah, I want to thank y'all for all the gifts y'all gave me on my birthday last couple of weeks. I want to thank you for my birthday gifts. But now Jesus is waiting on a gift from you. Especially if you're not saved. What better gift to give Jesus than you? Because if you give him you, he'll make you brand new. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, you're a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Won't you come today? Those of you online, if you want to accept Christ, just let us know. Just type it in. You want to be saved? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a prayer that you will acknowledge you've sinned and come short. It's a prayer when you will acknowledge that you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave. That prayer only says if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you want to accept Christ today and you're in this building or you're online, just repeat these words after me. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Knowing that God can and will use us to cause others to come to know him. We live. Yeah. I heard this and I remember it was at Sister King's mother's home going. Said she lived a life so she could live again. We need to live that life. So the good work that we do will follow us, and God will get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you, everybody, for coming to worship. Merry Christmas to everybody. May God continue to bless, guide, and keep you. Let us pray. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all the people say amen, amen. And praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.